Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. As we enter the season of Epiphany, our readings are taken from Romans 10, beginning at verse 8, and John chapter 4, verses 4 to 26, and 28 and 29. We begin a new series entitled Talking Jesus, which will be followed up in our small groups, as well as a weekly Zoom meeting to which all are welcome. Login details can be found on our Facebook and website, and our talk is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, our vicar.
The first reading is taken from Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 8, but Paul's talking to the Romans about his heart's desire and prayer that people be saved. So in the reading today, he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, Isaiah chapter 28, Joel chapter 2, and Isaiah chapter 52. So he certainly knew his scriptures. So, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
The second reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 4 to 26, and then another couple of verses on the end. And this is about a conversation that Jesus has. Now, he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you've nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." I have no husband," she said. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. In fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Sue and Chris. And if I haven't seen you since last year, a happy new year to you and to all those who are watching us live this morning or later on. The power of words and the power of conversation. You might know this man, Martin Luther King Jr. He lived and died to see society transformed. In 1964, he became the youngest person ever to receive the Nobel Prize for his work to end social segregation and racial discrimination. He spoke powerfully and shared his dream that one day he would live in a nation where his children would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. His speech transformed the hearts and minds of a whole generation. Now, I believe that you share the same transforming power of words. You might not have the words he used. He was a master at using words, but your story, your conversations, your God story with those you know can, through the grace and the works of God, impart life, hope, and truth. Your life and your words as a Christian have the potential to transform your neighborhood, your local community, and even spill out into your town, your country, and the whole world. Now you might say, "Well, wait a minute. I can't influence my whole town, let alone the whole country or the world." Well, today I want to show you that by sharing Jesus with those you are in contact with, you will be God's instrument in enabling that person to discover faith. Now, you might not be the person who actually brings that person to faith, a little bit like the story of Sue, who was an instrument in helping that person realizing that what she was doing was wrong, but also opening herself to the true person who could give her life. But Sue was instrumental. Christ will be using you to help that person get a little bit closer to faith. And when that person will commit finally his or her life to faith and live that life, that faith life to the full, who knows? Who knows what that person is or could be? Maybe that person could be a key player in your town. Maybe it's a key player in the country or even the world. So you have been instrumental in changing that place. Some of you have or may still have key roles as businessman and woman, scientists, civil servants, health workers, etc. And if you are a Christian, you most probably have been led to faith in Christ by people who shared their story, who were willing to say something about the good news, something of their knowledge of God and the Bible. And thanks to them, you have lived many years with the knowledge of God. You have experienced his goodness and guidance, and through his very life, you've been a blessing to the places he has sent you. So what I want to say is that your faithfulness, your intentionality can affect changes on scales you can never imagine. So this morning, I want you to be encouraged. And do not dismiss the power of sharing your story with friends, neighbors, colleagues, acquaintances, and to invite them to events where they can discover for themselves the message of the good news. And so in our first reading, we had this beautiful description of what witnessing for Jesus is all about. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, I don't know, you might have some issues with your own feet. I have a little bit of issues with my feet, so I don't feel they're very beautiful. And of course, today we don't walk in sandals like in Jesus' day, so we don't really see our feet. Maybe we should say, how beautiful are the shoes? But I expect there won't be those, you know, like stylish shoes that you buy and you just walk two or three times and, you know, they're perfect. I'm pretty sure they will be worn-out shoes, because that's what it means to be a witness. It's to be busy in witnessing, so your shoes will be worn out. Translations put it this way: a sight to take your breath away, grand processions of people telling all the good things of God. And that's us, a procession of people all together in our own way, telling the good things of God. That's to happen. We all need to play a part. And so Paul asks those questions in his reading. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone speaking to them? And how can anyone speak unless they are sent? Well, this morning, as Christians, we are all sent. Sent by God to speak to our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues, our family members, the contacts we have. We do that through our lives, through our actions, yes, of course. But more importantly, we need to use words. How will they believe if they have never heard? We need to hear words to come to faith. And you are the one who can point the other to Jesus, who can truly help, truly rescue, truly transform. And you are, in your own way, a living proof of that, of the goodness of God, of the reality of God in this world, the works of God in your life, and the difference he has made are powerful messages to those around you. Now, we heard earlier by Richard that most of us, including me, have some levels of apprehension about sharing our faith, even your vicar, our story. There will be a mixture of not being sure what to say or what to share. Sue expressed that when the person shared the reality, she did a quick prayer, a quick prayer. There is the fear of being misunderstood or even rejected. There is the worry about not being able to answer questions or finding an argument a little bit overwhelming. So for the next 7 weeks, as a church, we will learn together how to share our faith with greater confidence and clarity. And this is what it is about, talking Jesus, this course. There will be some teaching on Sunday, and this is an introduction. Then during the week, we will be exploring the course material, watch some moving stories, listen to some inspiring teaching, and then encourage one another to share our story in our own space, to tell to each other what God has done in our lives, and then to pray for each other, for the friends we're going to be praying for in the next 7 weeks. Now, those meetings, those who are meeting weekly in groups will do that, whether it's at home or here in the church. But for all of you who are not in a group, I am starting a virtual group, a Zoom group. So I want as many people to be able to interact with that course. It's a commitment for 7 weeks, and starting from this week, Wednesday at 7:30, those who want will meet on Zoom, and we'll first get to know each other, and then from next week, we will use the course material. So to that effect, at the back on the table on my left, so will be on your right, there will be that information, plus the Zoom link and passwords, so it's there at the back. So do take a sheet and meet me on, I believe it's, is it Tuesday or Wednesday? Tuesday, January the 10th is Tuesday, Tuesday evening. Now, since a picture is worth a, Since a picture is worth 1,000 words, what about a moving pictures? Moving pictures going to be worth 1,000,000 words. So let's look at an introduction of that course.
So one of the last things that Jesus said when he was here on the earth was, go and make disciples of everyone.
We're going to be getting inspired to share our faith with those around us, get some practical tips on how to do it, and look at what it is we're exactly sharing.
This is for people like you and me.
We're already the right people in the right place. We're ideal to do mission in normal, everyday life.
You got anyone coming? How about your mates?
Trust me, it's not their thing. They're the last people in the world who'd want to come.
Ask them.
I find when I talk about Jesus, I feel like I'm involved in something really weighty, you know, something that really matters.
I find that generally people are very open about things of God, and actually they do want to talk about it.
You know, if a friend tells you somewhere's really good, or a family member does, then you're going to want to check it out.
The best recommendation for Jesus is not somebody distant, it's not someone out there, it's your friend, it's your brother.
People, by your lifestyle, will see the different way you live.
Be your authentic, real self, sharing your experience of what it means to walk with Jesus.
And each of us have got stories to tell about how Christ made a difference in our lives.
I've got something for you. A gift.
We're going to be looking at how to share God's story with those around us.
We've been given this responsibility and this privilege of sharing God's love with others.
It's just prayer. You can't get it wrong with prayer. Just find 5 people you need to pray for, keep praying for them.
And as you continue to pray for them, God begins to work in your heart as well.
This is Talking Jesus, training Christians to share their faith.
One of the tasks you will be doing this week is to fill this sheet and to put 5 names of people you will commit as a Christian to pray for. People that you know that are close by, you know, it could be a neighbor, a friend, people you have conversations with. And the challenge is at least one of them, or it could be a couple, is someone you're going to invite to Stable Manners, which will take place at the end of this month, the last weekend of January. So that's a big challenge. We heard here about prayer, but another reality is that in the Bible it says Christians are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, the temple at the time of Jesus was this huge monument, this huge place where they would worship, was the biggest, their place of worship. So I thought, well, we don't have a temple. What would be the equivalent? Well, this is, do you recognize which cathedral it is? Well, she recognized, yes. Can you imagine if you said you are Canterbury Cathedral walking? You are a walking cathedral. That's who we are. We are the place where people can meet God through our words and through our life. The Spirit lives in us. And because the Spirit lives in us, that same Spirit lived in Jesus. And so the kind of attitudes and values and works that Jesus did, God wants to do the same through us and in us. So let's see some of those principles in that amazing story of Jesus with the Samaritan. For me, the first principle in that story is that Jesus works one at a time. He is willing to stop and to have that one conversation with one person. So reach one person at a time. Reach one person at a time. Mother Teresa says, never worry about numbers. Help one person at a time and always start with the person nearest you. So who might that be? Who might that be, that person that you will write on that list? The person you will be praying for? I wanted to have a quick count, but I think we're about 80, maybe more today, actually. So if we each pray for 5 people, and you can say, well, if I'm a couple, I pray for the same than my partner. Maybe you can pray for different friends. But if we each pray for 5, that's 400 people who we're going to be prayed for the next 7 weeks, regularly. And at least one will be invited at the end for the Stable of Manners. That's 80 people we're going to invite to come and experience something of God. Jesus was interested in that Samaritan woman. Secondly, he was interested in breaking down barriers of culture and ethnicity and tradition and history. We heard in that passage that Jews and Samaritans would normally not talk to each other. Even worse, they really hated each other. But not just that, Jesus talked to a woman. And if you know a little bit of the tradition and the culture of the days, if you were a religious man, a man of God, you would be very careful about talking to a woman, certainly not on your own. That was the culture of the time. So Jesus, having that prolonged conversation, flew in the face of conventions of the time. And interacting with someone from Samaria was even worse. But Jesus was interested in one at a time and interested in anyone. And so should we. And then finally, Jesus loves and cares regardless of the lifestyle. In our reading, it says it was a 6th hour, context, noon would be 12 o'clock. And it's an important detail in the story, because if you go to get some water in a well, you would never go at 12 o'clock in those. It's too hot. You would wait 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the evening, where it's a bit cool and it's easier. But that person chose to go at that time because she wants it to be alone, because of her lifestyle. And we hear in that story, when she said, I don't have a husband, Jesus said, well, it's true, you don't have a husband. You already had, I can't remember the number, a few, what was it, 5, there you go, 5. And the one you live now with is not your husband. So she had to go at noon, because most probably she wasn't very popular in her village. And yet Jesus takes the time to speak to her, to help her realize, and to help her realize 2 things. And I think in our conversation, that's what it is all about. If you knew the gift of God, he says, and who it is that speaks to you, you would have asked. That's our story. The story is about the gift and about a person. The gift that God wants everybody to be reconciled to him, and he has done it through his son Jesus. And then he gives us his very presence, the Holy Spirit, and we become walking cathedrals. We become the place people can meet God. Yes, it's great to be together because there is lots of cathedrals, so it's quite powerful. But Jesus is with you everywhere, every day, at any time. And God can and people can experience God through you anywhere. And you can be in contact and in relationship with God anytime, anywhere. Jesus loves and cares regardless of the lifestyles. And he takes the time to have that conversation with her. Now, ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit, that source of life, that can bring transformation in a person, in a place, in a town, in our country, and in our world. But the same Spirit that lived in Jesus now lives in us, and he wants us to share the story of God's goodness. Now, your story will be your story. It will be very different than anyone else. And that's the beauty. That's the power of the gospel. Because God wants to reach every nation, every language, every context, every culture, every situation. And finally, Jesus points to what really matters. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says, you would have asked him. He refers the table, he says, your real need is to experience God and the person that God has sent. Jesus came to quench our thirst, a thirst for meaning, a thirst for acceptance, a thirst for relationship, and he is the source of that can quench that thirst. He is the gift to your friends. One reality is that the people you will be talking to, and to a certain extent, even as Christian, we all thirsty. We are all thirsty people. And we seek to quench that thirst, our deepest hunger, in the wrong things, in what doesn't really quench our thirst. Now, it can be money, power, possession, sex, reputation, success, achievements, self-discovery, even religiosity. Now, those things are not wrong in themselves. They are gifts of God. God wants us to have success, to give our gifts and skills, and to be proud of what we can achieve. Money is important, and we know, with the cost of living. Even sex is good. It's a gift of God. The problem is that when it becomes the center, or when it becomes the source that seeks to quench our thirst, then we will always be thirsty. If those become the foundation of our identity, the meaning of our lives, Jesus says, I am the living water. I am the gift. But then he also says, once you experience that, you become living water. That living water will become like what it says in the scripture, a fresh spring from inside out. You will become that now fresh spring where people can meet God. It become a spring of water welling up. A spring of water welling up. That's what happens when we have received Jesus. God's presence, God's Holy Spirit is in us. And that same impact that Jesus had on the Samaritan can happen on your friends. And then we finish that story with the woman who moves from telling Jesus, well, you're a Jew and I am a woman, Samaritan, how can you ask me for water? And a little bit later in the story, she will say, oh, sir, she will change her attitude towards him. Then she will say, oh, I see you're a prophet. And finally, she will say, I know that the Messiah, she's considering maybe this Jesus is. And Jesus tell her, I am. And she is transformed. She leaves her jar. She goes back to the village and she starts to be a witness. And as a result, the village get interested, and in the story you'll see that they will say, "We don't believe just because of your story. We have met him, and we know he is the Messiah." So you see how one conversation transformed in that time a whole village. And who knows the people of that village who they then started talking to. So this is the challenge for this week. On your right you will see 5 people to pray for. What is my audience? Commit to do the Talking Jesus course, whether it's in your home group or in the church or on the virtual Zoom, and think about inviting one person to the St. James Players event, Stable Manners, and you have the dates there. There will be tickets on sale at the back at the end of the service. So we are at the beginning of the year, and my wish is that this coming year we will learn to talk more close, to walk more closely with Jesus, to walk with him and work with him, and to watch how he does it. You see, you only need to share words. You don't need to work salvation. That's his work. You only need to be faithful in sharing your story, to learn the enforced rhythm of grace. Jesus promised that he won't lay on us anything that's heavy or ill-fitted, that he will be with us as we keep company with him, and that we will learn to experience the joy of sharing our story. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we recommit ourselves this morning to walk with you, learn from you, and share with others what we have seen and tasted in you. Holy Spirit, make us bolder and more alive. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.